Start your day the Torahway, Northwest London, Thursday, 17th of 7th, 16th of June. Rav Shimon Gurovitz Shlita, Parshas Baalusva. This week's Torah is in front of a family sangha, none of a mitzvah, and their son, any sangha, and their yard, mitzvah, and Shabbos. He wrote in Shishka, who wrote,
we need to do a bar.
This week's Sedra starts with Parshas Hamaneira, Parshas Adlok Saneiris. Rashi says as follows: Lomo Nismucha Parshas Hamaneira, the Parshas Hanasiyim. Why was the Parshas Hamaneira placed together or in proximity with Parshas Hanasiyim, the Chanukas Hamizbeach? Says Rashi, defeat Shiro Aaron Chanukas Hanasiyim. When Aaron saw the part that the Nesiim played in the Chinuch process in the Chanukas HaMizbeach, Chol Shadatali, he felt weakened. He was upset he didn't play a part in the Chinuch process. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch says to him, Chayecho Shalcho Gedoyim Mishalahem. Your activities are going to be greater than theirs was. Shato Madlik Umeitiv Es HaNeiros. On a daily basis, you're going to do the avodas hatova, the preparation of the neiros, together with adlokas haneiros. And the Rabbana really asks, why did this satisfy Aaron HaKohen? Why was Aaron HaKohen baruig with the fact that he'd been awarded the malach, the avodas shabamikdosh of hatova and adlokas haneiros? Aaron had many privileges. Aaron HaKohen brought a daily korban and chaschavitim. Aaron HaKohen was the only one that was allowed lifnai v'lifnim. Aaron HaKohen was the one that did the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Aaron HaKohen could take the Avodas HaKtoris whenever he wanted. His problem was that he didn't play a part in the Chanukas HaMizbeach. He didn't play a part in the culmination of the Chinuch HaBayis. That was his problem. So why was he comforted with the fact that he'd been awarded another Avodah? That doesn't give him a part to play in the Chinuch HaBayis. This is the Ramban's Kasha on Rashi. So the Rechaim HaKodesh makes the following point to answer this question, and this tells us something about the uniqueness of the Menorah, which I'd like to elaborate upon. Says the Rechaim HaKodesh that if we look at the Gemara in Menoches, in that Peiches, the Gemara outlines exactly how that Tovas HaNeiros, the process of readying the Neiros, cleaning out what had to be cleaned out from the previous day, and getting the Neir ready for the next day's hadlokah, how it was done. Says the Gemara as follows. There's one man, the Omer, that says that the neiros, the actual receptacles of the oil that were lit, were made from separate pieces of gold to the menorah. The miksha achas was the menorah minus the neiros. The neiros were separate pieces of gold that were detachable. And every day, the one that was made to the neiros went up, took the neiros, detached them, brought them down, cleaned them out, and then reattached them. Says the Gemara, and according to the Manda Omar, that the Neiros were part of the one block of gold that the Menorah was created from. How exactly was that Tova affected? Very, very difficult to properly access from above. Says the Gemara, that according to that Manda Omar, the Neiros were attached to the Menorah, part of one piece of gold, with very slender sticks of gold, which were flexible, and the Neiros were bent down, and then they were cleaned out, and then bent back up.
Can't bend metal.
Sorry? Gold you can. Gold is bendable. That's how pure it is. But gold is, gold in its pure form can be bent.
It will snap eventually.
Yeah. You bend it backwards and forwards every day.
That's what the Gemara says. I don't know exactly how, but it was one of the Nisim Shema Mikdash. I don't know.
It was a spring. Spring loaded.
Says the Rechaim HaKodesh. Says the Rechaim HaKodesh as follows. Says the Rechaim HaKodesh that means that on a daily basis, the menorah was partially dismantled and then reinstated. Either the neiros were detached, or the neiros were bent down, therefore rendering the menorah unusable. And then it was reinstated. It means that for a time every day, the menorah what didn't exist in its entirety, which meant that the bayis was missing a menorah, and then it was resurrected, it was reattached. So Aaron HaKohen, who was awarded Hatova Bad Loksaneiris, was involved in a daily chinuch process. On a daily basis, Aaron HaKohen reinstated the menorah, thus ensuring that the Mishkan was complete. So Zechariah HaKodesh, this was the comfort that Aaron HaKohen was given. The Nesiim played a part in the chinuch, one off. They were mechanuch the Mizbeach, which was the finishing off of the bayis. You are going to be involved in a daily chinuch process through the activity of being meitiv and madlik the neis. And that's why Aaron HaKohen was baruch, that's why he was comforted. From here we see that the menorah was unique in the fact that it required a daily dismantling and reinstating, which no other keli required. What's the significance of this? Why was the menorah structured in such a manner, the menorah and the avodah structured in such a manner? Perhaps we can explain this. I'd like to bring out the fact that the menorah seems to be unique in other ways as well. It says in this week's parasha, V'zeh ma'isa ha-menorah. It says the Baal HaTurim, V'zeh is the gematria 18. Says the Baal HaTurim, this teaches us that menorah was 18 tefachim tall. In fact, it's also brought down in the Askeni Baalei HaTosfos in parashas Truma. Interestingly enough, although the dimensions of all the other kelim are outlined very clearly and at great length in parashas Truma, and again in parashas Vayakil, the dimensions of the menorah are only given to us by a remez in this week's parasha Vazeh. Why are the dimensions of the menorah not given to us in parashas Truma the same as the dimensions of the other kelim are very clearly outlined? Why is the menorah different in this respect, that the dimensions of the menorah are not revealed to us? A remes, a gematria, they're not revealed to us directly.
Bucha made it, not Moshe made it.
Yeah, we're going to come to that in a minute. Yeah, good, good. We're going to come to that in a minute. There's something else we have to understand. There's something else very different about the menorah, something else unique about the menorah, and we have to understand what this is trying to teach us. As has just been mentioned, the Pasuk says in Parashat Truma, Te'osa ha-menorah, which seems to indicate that it somehow or other was made by itself, says Rashi. Nasis me'eleho, shoye Moshe miskashebo. Moshe was troubled, he couldn't work out exactly how to construct it. And eventually he was told, as the Medrash outlines in this week's Sedra, take a lump of gold, throw it in the fire, and te'osa me'eleho, it was created by itself. The Ribbono shel Olam was the one, so to speak, that presented Moshe Rabbeinu with a fatka, with a complete menorah. Come to understand, why was this so? Why was this keli out of all kelim impossible to be created by the Oisei, by the Boinei HaMishkan? Why did it require the Ribbono shel Olam's import and the Ribbono shel Olam's creation rather than us creating it? Something else that we have to really understand in relevance to this episode, if we look at the Medrash in this week's Sedra, Medrash says, Harbe Yoga by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu put in a lot of yagia, a lot of effort to try to construct the menorah. He was very puzzled. Tried to construct it. The Rebbeinu showed him a Marash Aleish to try and demonstrate to him exactly how it was to be constructed. And Moshe Rabbeinu tried again until eventually, after the Harbe Yoga by Moshe, says that the Rebbeinu Shem take the kikazov, throw it into the fire, and then it was Teyoseh Me'oleo. It was made by itself. Now, the Ribbono shel Olam knew that Moshe Rabbeinu would be unable to create the menorah. So what did Ribbono shel Olam want from Moshe Rabbeinu? Why the Harbe Yoga Boy Moshe? If it was something that was impossible for a human being to construct, the Ribbono shel Olam should have told Moshe Rabbeinu, we're coming to the menorah now, take a block of gold, throw it into the fire. Moshe Rabbeinu had plenty of responsibilities, had plenty on. Why was it necessary for the Ribbono shel Olam to put Moshe Rabbeinu through the torturous process of trying to create something which was impossible for him to create? How the Yoga by Moshe? Why was this necessary? The Ribbono shel Olam should instruct him immediately, take a block of gold, throw it into the fire, the menorah I will present to you. Worry about the other kelim. This we have to understand. So we mentioned various uniquenesses, various aspects of the menorah is unique. It required a daily reinstatement, daily dismantling reinstatement. The shiurim of the menorah are not outlined to us in Parshas Truma together with the other kedim, and also it was created by itself, not by the oisei and bonei hamishkan. And we questioned also why did the Ribbono Shel Olam not do so immediately? Why the harbe yoga b'moish? As to menorah, there's also something which disturbed me, which I'd like to highlight, and hopefully we'll try and explain it. There's two avodas that are involved on a daily basis as far as the menorah is concerned. What we call hatovas haneiros, cleaning out the neiros and readying them for the next day's avodah, and then the actual maisa hadlaka. Now, what would we view is the main purpose? We would view the hadlaka as being the main purpose. That's the ultimate purpose. And that tova is the hachona, the preparation. So we would view the hachona as secondary, and the hadlaka as being the main purpose of the exercise. The Gemara in Yumad Daf Kaftal Noma Beis tells us that Hatova Avoida hi, Hatova is an Avoida, and had it been an Avoida Tama, a Zol would have been Chayav Misa had he done so. Hadloka Lav Avoida hi. And in fact, the Rambam paskens that Avoida Lechatchila is Ksheira, that Hadloka Lechatchila is Ksheira Bezol. How do we understand this? Hatova, that's an Avoida. Dafka Koyen. Yisrael is not allowed to do so. Hadloka, Mekoyen. Yisrael can do it as well. Difficult to understand that. Loka is l'chura, the primary purpose and the primary avoida that is required with the menorah. That tov is only a achona process. Why is it that tov is an avoida and that loka, lav avoida hi, it doesn't seem to carry the same importance as that tov? Medrash tells us, the end of the last week's Sedra and in Parshas Truma, Medrash says as follows. In the Mishkan, there were three crowns. The Oren had a crown, a Zer Zov. The Shulchan had a crown. And the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZov, also had a crown. What did these three crowns represent? Says the Medrash, they represent the Shlosh Ksorim Heim, Kese Torah, Kese Kuna, Kese Malchus. Which crown represents what? Says the Medrash as follows. Medrash says, Zer Oren, Keneged Kese Torah. The crown on the Oren represented Kese Torah. Zer Shulchan, the crown on the Shulchan, Keneged Shulchan Malachim, Keneged Kese Malchus. Shulchan Shulchan Malachim, Keneged Kese Malchus. Vezer Mizbeah, Keneged Kese Gun. It's what the Medrash teaches us. So the Kese Torah was awarded to the Oren. Kese Torah, Kese Malchus, Shulchan, Kesekunim to Mizbeach HaPnim. The Yoram we find was a Keli that represented Torah. That's why the Kesek Torah was given to the Yoram. It was the receptacle for the Luchas, the receptacle for Sefer Torah, and there are many, many Chazal that connect the Yoram to Torah. Just to mention one, Gemara in Yuma tells us, Mibayis Umichutz Tetzapenu. From there we learn, Amarova, Vikan Tamachochom. Tamachochom has to be internally and externally perfect. So we can understand why the Keser Torah was given to the Aron. The truth is, there's another Keli in the Mishkan that represented Torah, and that's the menorah. Kineh mitzvah, Torah, oil. Horoitza lahachkim, the Gemara tells us in Menachos. If one wants to find Chochma, Yadrim, go to the south where the menorah is situated. Or Reitz Lahashi Yatspin. If you want Ashiris, go to the north to the Shulchan. But Reitz Lahakim, if one wants Chochma Satoira, Yadrim, look towards the south, towards the menorah. So we have another Keli that represented Torah, i.e. the menorah. You have to understand, why was the Keser Torah awarded to the Orem as opposed to the menorah? It's something we have to understand. I think, in order to try and answer all these questions, we've got to first understand, why do we have two Kalim to represent Torah? Kuna we manage with one, Malchus we manage with one. Why are there two Kalim that represent Torah? But the Oren and Menorah are representative of Maramas on Torah. Why do we have two Kalim to represent Torah? The Netziv, beginning of Parashat Tzava, he makes mention to it also at the beginning of this week's parasha, but it's in the beginning of parasha some way, he speaks about it at length. He says as follows. He says, the Oren represents Torah Shebichsav and the Piskei Dinim. what the Oren represents. He says the menorah is keneged pilpul ha-toira, chidush ha-toira, what we would call Torah Shebaal Peh, and as he puts it, the menorah represents the koyach ha-niflo she-nikro Talmud. This is what the menorah represents. And he says that's the Torah Oir. The menorah is kineh mitzvah Torah Oir. It's the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's the menorah that throws light on the Torah Shebichsav. That's why it's called the Torah Oir, because it develops, explains, and elaborates as to the lessons and the halachas and the ramazim that are contained in Torah Shebichsav. So those are the two kelim. The orange keneged Torah Shebichsav, the Piskei Dinim, and the menorah represents the Chidush HaTorah, the Pilpul HaTorah, Talmud, what we call Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, it brings down a medrash. Rav Tarfon, when he used to hear Ashena Chidush, Adova Masukin, something nice in Torah, he used to say that Chidush is Kaftoy Vaferach. You might have heard that Loshen, it's a Loshen HaMedrash. Kaftoy Vaferach, strange Loshen, choose by Kaftoy Vaferach. And the answer is because the menorah with the Kaftoy and Brochim, they were representative of Chidush of Pilpul HaTorah. So when he heard Chidush of Pilpul HaTorah, does that good shtick menorah? Does this Kaftoy Vaferach? I saw in Reb Chaim Friedlander say for Sipsi Chaim, Moedim Chaneke speaks about the menorah, and he says that the Oren is left standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, day in, day out, year in, year out. There's no avoida which is actually done with the Oren. You might just Rika Ben Abadim, but we don't do any avoida with the actual Oren. The menorah we patchka with on a daily basis. He says, Oren, which represents Torah Shebichsav, Star Bal Toysif, Star Bal Tigra, you leave it as it is. He says, the menorah, which represents Pilpul HaTorah, Chidush HaTorah, that requires a constant input, and a constant arbet, a constant yegiah, and therefore the menorah has a daily avoidah done to it. And I think perhaps we can extend this somewhat and explain why the menorah actually, as we said, was unique amongst the kelim, that was dismantled and renewed on a daily basis, as opposed to all the other kelim. Kuna is kuna. There's no renewal, there's no chidush in kuna. Malchus based Ovid. And we have, of course, Torah Shebichsav, which is, as it is, Baal Tos, Baal Tigra. But when you speak about the menorah, which represents Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebaal Peh requires constant pilpul, the chidush. Torah Baal Peh is in a constant state of development, a constant state of hisravchus, and therefore the menorah was renewed on a daily basis to represent what Torah Baal Peh means to us. Torah Baal Peh means that we have to constantly be mefalpel and be mechadish, elaborate and explain. I thought perhaps we can explain why there's no shiurim given for the menorah as opposed to all the other kelim. Medrash Tanchuma already tells us at the beginning of Parshas Noach. They said, Na'aseh v'nishma'am Torah Shebichsav, but they need to be forced to be mekabel Torah Shebaal Peh. Why? Because Torah Shebichsav is something which is, as it is, clearly defined, a certain amount, and they felt that was something they could cope with. Torah Shebaal Peh, says the Medrash, is Arucha Meretz Midah, Rechova Minayam. Torah Shebaal Peh is endless. Therefore, it was daunting to them, Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is Arucha Meretz Midah, Rechova Minayam. Perhaps the Menorah, which represents Torah Shebaal Peh, doesn't have a shiur. Of course, it had a shiur, as we see in this week's Sedra. Zeh was a remes, 18 Tvachim. But the shiur is not outlined clearly in Parashas Truma, because it represents Torah Shebaal Peh, which is, in effect, endless. Everything else is defined. Meluch is defined, Kun is defined, and Torah Shebichsav is defined. But Torah Shebaal Peh is an endless exercise, and therefore there's no shield given for Torah Shebaal Peh. Why was the menorah made by itself? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam, Mutsha Moshe Rabbeinu Harba Yoga Bo Moshe? Perhaps we can shtel tzu the Gemara. One Megillah says in that, Vova Mabes, Yogati Vole Matzosi Al Tamin. Yogati umotzosi tami. This Gemara teaches us that how does the acquisition of Torah Shebaal Peh come about? First thing that one needs is yogati. But even after the yogati, the yigiyah doesn't automatically bring you Torah. It's then motzosi. It's then the Ribbono Shel Olam allows you to find it. It's a tzir from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we're miyagei, and then it's, so to speak, handed to us on a silver platter. This is the way that one acquires Torah Shebaal Peh. And Torah is representative of Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore, one first needed the Harbe Yoga by Torah. The Yagia is what's necessary. Then, once one's been Yagia, once one's been Miyagea, as is required, then Matsosi, then it was presented to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the Derech that one acquires Torah Shebaal Peh. Yogati, but then Matsosi. Sorry? So Harbe Yoga by Moshe, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was told, throw the gold into the fire, and it will be given to you, Yagati Umatsasi. We asked that the primary avodah we would have thought was the Hadlokah, yet it's not so. The primary avodah is the Hatova, Hadlokah's Kshera, even Bazaar. And I think now we can understand why that is so. It represents Torah Shebaal Peh. What is the primary avodah mitzidenu as far as Torah Shebaal Peh is concerned? That's the Yigiyah, that's the effort that we expend into trying to understand and develop Torah Shebaal Peh. The ultimate achievement is presented to us. The ultimate achievement is not our creation. And therefore the Avodas HaManoyah, which is connected to Torah Shebaal Peh, is the Avodas HaTovah, the Yigiyah, the work that has to be put in order to achieve the end result. But the end result is something that's presented to us, that's not part and parcel of our work, of our achievements, as a result of our work. But it's presented to us, and that's why Atova is a primary avoider, and Adloka lav avoider he. Now we asked, why was the Keser Torah presented to the Oren rather than the Menorah? Perhaps we can explain as follows. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Peidal and Mishnah Yud Beis, Shleishik Sorim Heim, Keser Torah, Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus, Keser Shem Toiv Eilal Gabein. 1 second. How many Ksorim are there? Four. And yet the Mishnah starts off by saying, Shloisha Ksorim, hey. How do we explain this Mishnah? Rabbeinu Yonah says, and the Rambam in Pirsha Mishnah says more or less the same thing, says Rabbeinu Yonah as follows. Keser Torah hu tolui bekeser, Keser Shem Tov hu tolui bekeser Torah. Keser Shem Tov is not a new crown. It is something which is an extension of the Keser Torah. How does a person acquire Shem Tov? So the Keser Shem Tov is not really a new Keser. It is an extension of Keser Torah. Through the application of Keser Torah, one acquires a Keser Shem Tov. So it's, so to speak, in a development of the Keser Torah. So Rabbi Yonah, that's why there's only three crowns and not four crowns. The Keser Torah, Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus, but if one develops the Keser Torah and does with the Keser Torah what one's supposed to do with the Keser Torah, by extension one acquires a Shem Tov. But that is through the application and the development of Torah. This is what Keser Shem Tov is all about. It's not really a new Keser, it's a development of the Keser Torah. So Keser Torah is the Torah itself, and the Keser Shem Tov is the development of Torah. So, if we were to award the Keser Torah, which refers to the Keser to the Torah itself, to which Keli would we award it? To the Oren. That's the Torah itself. The Menorah already represents the development of Torah, the application of Torah, which isn't a new Keser. It is, so to speak, totally the Keser Torah. But the Keser Torah is awarded to the Oren because that is the Torah itself. And Siat Shmaya found a Medrash in last week's Sedra. Medrash first speaks out that the three Ksorim are Keneged Oren, it's Keneged Keser Torah, Shulchan Keneged Keser Malchus, and the Mizbech HaPnimi, the Keser Mizbech HaPnimi is Knesset Keser Kona, and carries on the Medrash as follows, in Parshanosek Perek Yudalet Ois Kaf Beis. Sirizim, Keneged Shem Toiv, Va'oise Keser Hu Keneged HaManoira, V'kaim HaShenema Kineem Mitzvah V'Toira Oir. So the Menorah actually represents the Keser Shem Tov, which isn't a new Keser, it's the development of Keser Torah. So we can understand why the Keser Torah went to the Oren, and how the Menorah fits in as far as the Ksorim are concerned. It is in fact the Keser Torah which is the application and development, Keser Shem Tov which is the application and development of the Keser Torah. So this is the uniqueness of the Menorah, and this is a remes to us as to how Torah Shebaal Peh is to be acquired. Constant input, constantly gear, but once me again and teosa me aleho, then the Ribbonish Shalom presents us, it's a mitzir, Ribbonish Shalom help me to be zeiche, to many giluyim in Torah Shabbat.
Thanks.
Golden.